John 21, 1 through 19. Thank you for reading that. I want to read the Apostles' Creed to us. I like the Apostles' Creed. I pray the Apostles' Creed often. The Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Father, we believe in your church today. Show us who you are and what you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, which is the title of our sermon today, I believe in the church. I believe in the church. The Apostles' Creed, the church's first basic attempt, one of the first basic attempts at explaining the message of the Scriptures. The church went through and says, these are the basic things that we believe. And before a person was baptized into the church, the church would have them confess and profess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church is part of the Apostles' Creed. Catholic, when it says Catholic, it does not mean that particular branch of the church, Catholic, Protestant, Reformed. It's not talking about that. Catholic there means universal. So you could say, I believe in the universal church, or I believe in the Christian church. It means I believe in the church at all times for the last 2,000 years in all places. I believe is at the beginning of that second part of the creed. But it only says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. But it applies to every other part in that section. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe in the communion of saints. Now, at the beginning of it, it says, I believe in God the Father. And it says, I believe in Jesus Christ. And throughout the creed there, it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. But do we believe in the Holy Christian Church? But I believe in the church. It takes faith to believe in God. You can't see God, and many people question things they can't see. Do they exist? Bad things happen in the world, evil happens, so to believe in God, you have to have faith. I believe in Jesus. We haven't seen Jesus, so it takes faith to believe in Jesus. That makes sense. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We have not seen the Holy Spirit, so it takes faith to believe in the Holy Spirit. But we've seen the church. Some of you passed several churches on your way to this church this morning. So why do you need faith to believe in something that you can see? So I ask us today, does it take faith to believe in the church? And I believe the answer is yes. One of the main reasons people will give that they do not embrace Christianity is not because they do not believe in God. They do believe in God. But they will say, the reason I do not embrace Christianity is because I do not believe in the church. I don't want anything to do with the church. A famous pastor named G.K. Chesterton said, by far the biggest proof against Christianity are Christians. Christians, the church, have let people down. Of course, people outside the church, non-Christians, have let people down, but they don't let that bother them. That's a different sermon for a different day. But the church has let people down. The church may have let you down. So it does take faith, a whole lot of faith, to believe in the church. It may take more faith to believe in the church than it does to believe in God. But believing in the church and believing in God, believing in Jesus, believing in the Holy Spirit, they are linked. You cannot believe in God without dealing with the church. And we have a generation, we have a society that wants to deal with God without dealing with His church. They say, "I am spiritual, but not religious." That is the big catchphrase and is one of my pet peeves, I've said before. But what that means is, I like God and I like Jesus, but I don't really like the church. I don't want too much to do with the church. Now, Jesus told Simon Peter, after Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, He said, "You are the rock. You are the Petra, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So some people say that means Peter, some it means it's the confession. I usually go with the confession that Jesus is the Christ. So I believe it does represent Peter, and it represents all of the apostles and their confession that Jesus is the Christ. So in John 21, when you read what Peter did and what Peter said, just an experiment. Peter representing the rock, the church, the apostles representing the rock, the church, the confession that Jesus is Christ. You can, if you don't feel comfortable doing this, that's fine. But everywhere you see Peter in there, you can replace Peter with the church. Peter, Jesus asking the church, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Church, do you love me? Church, do you love me? Church, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know we love you. Yes, Lord, you know we love you. Yes, Lord, you know we love you. Well, church, feed my lambs. Well, church, feed my lambs. Well, church, feed my lambs." So I want to look at the church today through Peter and through the apostles and through how Jesus interacted with them in John chapter 21 to decide what we are really believing in and what He has called us to be. So number two, that's what we're going to do. This is what the church is. This is what the church does. This is what we're believing in. Number two, throw in your net. Jesus told the apostles, He told Peter, He told them out fishing, "Throw in your net." So I believe He tells the church today, throw in your net for a great catch of fish. Now, something similar to John 21 had already happened 3 years earlier, all the way back in Luke chapter 5. The disciples were again fishing. They had fished all night and caught nothing. But now Jesus gets in the boat with them, tells them to push out from the shore. They had cleaned their nets. They were ready to go home and go to bed. They had fished all night. They were tired. But Jesus tells them where to go to and where to cast their nets. And when they do, even though they had caught nothing all night, which was the time to fish, now in Luke chapter 5, they throw in their nets again because Jesus said so, and now they catch this great multitude of fish. The symbolism for the church: without Jesus, we catch nothing, but with Jesus, we're overwhelmed. So that was the beginning. Luke chapter 5 was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. 3 years later, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, John 21, it happens again. This great catch of fish happens again. Luke chapter 5, Jesus is in the boat. John chapter 21, Jesus is not in the boat. Jesus is on the shore. And at first, they don't even know it's Jesus. They do not recognize him. In fact, John is the first to recognize him after the great catch of fish. "This is the Lord," he says. He finally recognized Jesus. Something clicks in his brain. Ha ha, 3 years ago this happened. That was when Jesus, and now this is happening again. This is the Lord. It's John's way of saying in his gospel, it's the gospel's way of saying, even if Jesus is not in the boat, even if at first we do not recognize him, the church is still to be at God's work in the world, and Jesus is always close by, and Jesus will always help us to complete his mission. When Jesus first met the disciples, they were fishing. Jesus looks at his disciples, Peter and James and John, and his call to them was, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So he calls them out of their life of being fishermen, fishers, and he calls them into his church. And he calls them to the mission of the church. Well, what is the mission of the church? Fishing. Stop that fishing and let's go fishing. Throw in your net, church. Fishing, the mission of the church. Fishing is not just trying to convert people. It's not less than that, but it's certainly more than that, more than just converting people. Fishing, Jesus uses as kingdom language. In fishing, in the kingdom language, it is bringing people, it is bringing fish from one realm to another. That's what fishing is in the natural. You throw in your line, you cut the hole in the ice, and you're trying to bring that fish from one realm to another. I don't go too far with the kingdom analogy because we're not trying to get them into a frying pan like you're trying to do. But we are trying to get them from one realm to another. From the sea. They were on the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. For the ancients, people of that time, the sea was the symbol of chaos. The sea was the symbol of darkness, and many times on the Sea of Galilee throughout the Gospels, a storm would rage and trouble would happen on the sea. Well, fishing brings people out of the darkness, the storm, the trouble, and brings them to another realm. Paul describes what Christian fishing is in Colossians 1:13. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness," he brought us out of that realm, "and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son he loves." So brought out of darkness into a new realm. You get forgiven, for sure. But you also are brought into a kingdom with a new king, with a new Lord. It is the Lord. So the church, Peter and James and John and those fishermen represent the church, represent the community of the king. And the community of the king, the church, brings people from one realm to another. So a throw-in-your-net church should be different from the broken world. The church realm should be different from the sea realm, from the darkness realm. The way the church uses its money, the way the church uses its sexuality, the way men and women treat each other within the church and being individuals in the church, the way the races get along, the way don't let anger overcome us, fighting, worried. We should be different than the realm of the deep. than the realm of the sea. We should be an alternate city. The church should show the broken world a realm where money, beauty, and power is not an idol. So we can't throw in our net if we are swimming in the same water of the broken world. If we act just like the world, there's no different realm to bring them to. If we swim in the same hatred, the same sexual misconduct, the same slander, the same violence, the same sexism, the same racism, and the other isms that there are, there's nothing different. So we draw them into something different, a different realm. The kingdom seen through the church. So throw in your net, church. Number three. Friends, feed my lambs. Friends, feed my lambs. Verse 5, Jesus says, before they knew it was Jesus, he says, friends, haven't you any fish? The typical word for friends in the Greek language, the word that Jesus should have used is the word adelphios. Adelphios. That means friends in the Greek, where we get our English word Philadelphia, Adelphius, Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. But he doesn't use the word, He doesn't use the word Adelphius. He uses the word Padia, where we get our English word pediatrician and pediatrics. Padia means child, means children. In fact, some of the translations say, children, haven't you caught anything? Children, have you not caught any meat? But I do like the translation, friends. Why? Because most commentators agree he is using a common figure of speech when he uses padia. The word Jesus uses is the most intimate, familiar language for your closest friends, for those most dear to you. He said, fellas, my boys, dudes. If you're Irish lads, what do you call your friends? What do teenagers call their friends? I'm getting old. What do you? Well, homies. Homies, all right. Tony's still young at heart. He's calling them friends in a folksy way. He said he was going to do this in John 15:15. The night before he went to the cross, he told the disciples, the apostles, the church, if you will, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. A true friend will tell you their heart. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you my heart, because you're my homie. Masters don't tell the servants their heart. Also in John chapter 15, he says, masters don't lay down their lives for their servants, but a true friend will. So a true friend lets you in, and a true friend does everything in their power not to let you down. And Jesus is our true friend. He always lets us in. He stands at the door and knocks and wants us to come in and dine with him. Let him in and dine with us. And he never lets us down. And that's what he calls the church to be. A friend is transparent, is open. A friend does not try to control others. A true friend does their best never to let you down. They are unconditionally there for you. They're not trying to use you, and if you are a true friend, you are there for them, not trying to use them. So how are you at being a friend? I think most of us say, I'm pretty good at being a friend. I let people in and I open up and I don't try to use people and manipulate them. So personally, I'm pretty good. How is the church at being a friend like Jesus? Do we use people? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there for them? What type of church are we? Well, how do you know if you're a friend the way Jesus is? By asking, do I feed his lambs? Feed. Do we feed people? Or are we just here to be fed? Do I go out of my way to feed his lambs, or I'm just here about me and I desire to be fed? It's all about me. The big dog eats first. That's how you know if you're a true friend. Do we feed his lambs? Not lions. We don't feed the lions. We feed the lambs. Lambs are weak. Lambs always need something. You know, if you're a zookeeper and feeding the lions, you just, you know, throw the meat in and the lion's going to come. But a sheep, you got to keep herding them and herding. Come on, come on, lie down, lie down. You got to make the sheep. Sheep also don't give affection. I mean, they herd together and they wander off by themselves. They don't run up to get, you know, petted. He didn't say feed my dogs. I don't know if that'd been a worse analogy or worse insult. Feed my dogs, you know. Maybe that's a good word for friends. But he didn't say that. A dog will give you affection. A dog wagging its tail when you get home. But a lamb, you got to go look for it sometimes. Feed my lambs. The ones I send you, not the ones that you pick and choose. I will help him, but not him. I will help her, but not her. Because they're just not like me, and they get on my nerves. Jesus says, feed the ones I send to you. Care about my lambs, not the ones that you pick and choose. Do we choose the ones who make us feel better about ourselves and reject the weak, the different class, and those who are at a different standard than we are? Are we willing to go after the lambs? Are we willing to go after the weak? You will never be cool when you're sitting at the lamb's table. Teenagers might get more of a chance to practice this than us adults will. Because they get to go to school and there's always the tables and there's always the recess time, the hangout time where you choose them. I'm not going to be nice to that person because they're just different than me. They look different than me. And many times you even get an opportunity to join in picking on someone, bullying someone. So even our teenagers, whom we need to support, may have an opportunity to be the church even more so than us adults. Lambs, they expose the fact, they reveal if we are a good friend or not. At our best, we can fall short at being a good friend. Because I can pick and choose the lambs I want to feed. So what do we do? What's the answer? We rely on the gospel message, individually as well as the church. And that looks like number 4. Stretch out your hands and follow me. If you want to be a good friend, if you want to draw people in, if we want to be a church that's full of good friends like Jesus, if we want to cast our net and draw people in, Then we have to number four, stretch out your hands, church, and follow me, church. Stretch out your hands. That's another euphemism that John uses, that Jesus used. It doesn't mean just take me by the hand. It means be put on the cross. Jesus' hands were stretched out. He died to self. He became a true friend when he was stretched out on the cross. Everyone rejected him, but he still remained a true friend. And that's the type of death Peter will die. He will be a true friend to Jesus by having his hands stretched out as well. And he will be a true friend to the church and true friend to the world by laying down his life because he loved the world. So if you want to be a friend like Jesus, if you want to be a friend like Peter, if we want to be the church, we must follow Jesus by stretching out our hands and dying to self. Yes, we know we are a living sacrifice. We hope to never have to be martyrs, but at the same time, we know we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. And we can do this because Jesus has already done this for us. He is our true friend who has stretched out his hands for us. So we don't have to pick and choose and judge people. Am I going to be their friend? Are they worthy enough to be friends with me? We don't have to worry about being cool and sitting at the right table. And what will people think? And do they meet my standards? Because the only one we want to please is our true friend, Jesus, who has stretched out his hands for us. So we are so fulfilled by his love that he has for us that we don't have to manipulate people and control people. We can be a true friend. And we can go after the lambs. We go for feeding people instead of always looking to be fed. I saw a shirt one time. It said, "Jesus is for losers." And I like that shirt. Jesus is for losers. It was a positive shirt. It had a positive view of Jesus. It was saying the ones that the world calls losers, that's who Jesus is for. The ones that the world calls losers, Jesus calls them friend. And that's who the church is for. And it's a good thing because we've all been lost. If you're a loser, that means you were lost and you feel lost. And we were all lost. And Jesus came for the lost. He came for the losers. He is the only true friend that we have ever truly had and who changes us. He is the only true friend that has been 100% unconditionally, completely vulnerable for us. And when we believe this, it makes us complete. So I know you have to be a true, true friend to a select few. You're not going to be true, true friends. You're not going to completely know every person because you're just one person. But you become a true, true friend to a select few. That is true. But you are this type of friend. You are friendly to all people, all kinds of people. And I want to give you three ways how, real quick. How can you be a true, true friend to a select few people and friendly, this type of friendly, to all kinds of people? Well, A, feast with people. Feast with people. Jesus taught all of this around the campfire, cooking fish. He taught all of this over a meal. That's why we give you coffee and a cookie in the back. You can hide behind that styrofoam cup of coffee. And you have the little meal there, and you get to know people, and you're friendly to people. Food groups. I encourage you to sign up to be in one of our food groups. Because you're going to have somebody in your food group that you are not like. Someone who is different from you. And that's a good thing. because you get to practice being that type of friendly to them. I would encourage you, with your food group, if you have a friend that does not go to church here, that is not connected with Christ, that you would invite them to let your food group know that I want to invite a friend. I invited a friend. They're going to come with me this Friday to Logan's, wherever you're going. It would be a great opportunity to introduce someone who does not know Christ and who does not believe in the church. It would be a great opportunity to introduce them to the church. How's that sound? I think that sounds pretty good. B. When you fail, let Jesus reinstate you. When you fail, let Jesus reinstate you. You're going to have failures in relationships, personally and here at church. Some people fail at a relationship at church, and they, I give up on the church, and I give up on those people, and I'll see you. It's just me and Jesus from now on. And they're gone. You don't know anybody that's ever happened to before. But you fail in a personal relationship, and nope, that's over with. Take off. I'm gone. Don't give up on relationships just because you fail. Try again in Jesus' name. Peter had let Jesus down. And not only that, Peter had let the disciples down when he denied him three times. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. But Peter did not give up. Jesus did not give up on Peter. So three times in this John 21, he reinstates him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? A three-time reminder that Peter had failed, but a three-time reinstatement. Yes, I still love you. So those who fail at relationships, don't quit on God, don't quit on others, don't quit on the church. Get reinstated. That's good too. See. Keep going to Jesus as your friend so he can make you a true friend. Keep going to Jesus as your friend so he can make you a true friend. Remember all the way back in Luke chapter 5, 3 years earlier when they first meet Jesus, after that great catch of fish, after it happened, you know what Peter told Jesus, what Peter did? He fell down in the boat, and this is what he told Jesus. He said, "Go away from me. Get away from me. I'm too big of a sinner to be near you. I don't want to be near you, Jesus. Go away." He was so overwhelmed. 3 years later, now Peter has proved that he's a sinner, not worthy, by denying Jesus three times. But now when he hears that it is Jesus, he does something different. He doesn't tell Jesus to go away. What does he do? He wraps his coat around his waist and he dives into the water. Now, 3 years later, he's got to get to Jesus, even though now we know he's messed up and a sinner, but now he's got to get to Jesus. Why? What changed him? Jesus has changed him. A relationship with Jesus has changed him. At first, he just barely knew him. Now he knows him. And somehow, through the resurrection, through the gospel, through the knowing Jesus, he wants to get close to him. In spite of being a sinner, he wanted to get close to Jesus. So if you failed Jesus and you failed the church and you failed relationships, don't run away and say, "Go away from me." Dive right back in and get close to Jesus. And getting close to Jesus and not pushing him away is how we learn what kind of friend he is and what kind of friend we can be and what kind of friend the church can be. And I believe John chapter 21 is a good picture of Jesus' church. A church that we can believe in. Because I believe in the church. Living for Jesus. Number one, do you believe in the church? I know many of you would answer yes. Some of you, I don't know. So, teenagers, answer this question. You're going to be 18 one day, and mama and daddy ain't going to make you go to church, and grandma ain't going to make you go to church no more. You're going to be grown, an adult. So you're going to have to start asking your answering that question now. Do I believe in the church? And you're going to have to answer it for yourself with God. Number two, how is Living Hope's realm different from the broken world's realm? We have to be different. We can't act like the news stations. We have to be a different realm. Number three, do you use people or feed people? And number four, sign up for a food group. No pressure. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is the Lord. He's standing on the shore today. Let's dive in. Let's dive in. Jesus, we say thank you for being our friend. Thank you for calling us friends. Close friend. Personal friend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to be a church. Individually in the church when we go our separate ways, but we come back together collectively. Help us to feed your lambs. Help us to know that we're a friend of God, and now we as the church, we go out and feed your lambs. Help your people in their places of work, in their schools, oh God. Empower them by your Holy Spirit to know that you are their friend, and to know that they can be a friend like you to the least of these, to the lambs. Let Living Hope be a place empowered by your Holy Spirit that knows that you are our friend, that confesses that we love you, and that feeds your lambs. Thank you, Lord. Nobody looking around. If you don't know Jesus as your friend and you'd like to today, if you'd like to say it is the Lord and just dive right into a relationship with Jesus today, man, woman, teenager in this place today, someone, if you would like to be a friend to Jesus today, can I just see your hand so I can pray for you this week? Say, I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to dive right in. I haven't really done this before. I want to dive in today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even if you failed, you were friends with Jesus, but you denied him. You denied him at school. You denied him at work. You denied him at home by your words, by your actions. But now you want to dive right back in. You want to get close to him. Is that you? Can I just see your hand so I can pray for you this week? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. If you're able, would you stand with us and let's sing unto the Lord today.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that you call us friend. And we believe we are your friend today. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, I just ask that you would just bless your people. That you would just make your face shine upon them. That you would be gracious to every person here. That you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.